It's Friday night, and the mood is right. We're gonna have some fun, show you how it's done, TGI.
Hello.
Welcome one and all once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 102. We're going to do something special today, and we're going to talk about TGIF because thank God it's Friday. But joining us this week, our panel of, I guess, television experts, we have Essie.
Hello.
We have Wesie.
Oh crap, I'm back now. Wow, that was a weird experience. What happened last week?
And we have Anthony.
Yeah, you probably won't be hearing me much throughout the entire episode, so hello, everyone.
How is that going to be different than usual?
That's very true, yeah.
But yeah, so we're going to talk about TGIF, which was a block of comedy shows that ran for about a decade on the ABC network. And as we found out during the pre-show recording, is that it was very much an American thing. So Anthony actually has no experience with the block, but he did watch some of the shows. I don't know if they were... I guess we can ask him. Did you have any shows that were kind of marketed together?
Well, I think Teen Angel and Sabrina were kind of marketed together. I think Sister Sister crossed over with some as well. I'm trying to look now, because I'm sure there's, like, some crossover they had. Do you know where they'd have characters from one TV show appear in the other TV show to try and get ratings and shit, but
I don't know
sure.
If they did it on ABC or if they did it when they moved over to another network. Because Sister Sister ended up eventually popping on the WB later on.
Yeah, that happens with a couple of shows, and we'll get to that. Especially, I think two shows from this block in particular actually has their final season when they go to a competing network. But yeah, we'll get to that in a bit. But yeah, I mean, it was... TV on Friday nights has always been a tough sell because Friday night tends to be... It's the end of the work week for a lot of people and the start of the weekend. So it's usually a big party night, which is why you don't tend to put shows on there because nobody's around. But ABC thought to do something different and they tailored their shows towards more family-oriented programming because, I mean, as a parent, most people probably aren't doing anything Friday night or their kids really can't go out when you're 10 or 11. So we had a bunch of shows that were, and almost every show on this block had like a predominantly kids focus, or had a Trojan on it. The initial block was Perfect Strangers, which of course, just to prove me wrong, doesn't really have any strong kids on it.
Nope.
It was just a very eccentric show about my cousin Balky and Larry, I think his name was.
Cousin Larry.
Yes. And it was just, you know, one of those, fish out of the pond type scenarios where he has this very strange customs and he's moved in with his cousin in America and dealing with all of that throughout the series. And somehow they never really got past it after like 10 years, so who knows.
Website that's like a great game online and where you can like make your dreams come true by following Cousin Balky through...
I played that game.
It is fun. And
it's set to the theme song of the show.
And it makes you so happy by the time you're done because it's such a happy little. It's basically you type in your dream and then you just play through with Balky and then flying through the sky and going through like a fiery city and it's a very fun little game. Yeah, I will admit I played that way too many times because it's really fun and, you know, the song's very intense.
The song's very catchy, and that's actually a very big thing about these shows. A lot of them have very catchy or memorable theme songs, and I think, again, it kind of speaks to that. Well, you kind of want that because it's, you know, most of them are hummable, most of them are singable. I think most people would still kind of know the Perfect Strangers song. You still kind of know, like, the Full House song or the Family Matters song or Step by Step and stuff like that.
Even Mr. Belvedere, you still know the theme. And that was actually part of the original lineup.
Right.
I could even still hum parts of the Mr. Belvedere. Just the 10 of us, I could still hum parts of that song. That was a spinoff of Growing Pains, by the way, people.
Was it?
Yes. The gym teacher was set up through a Growing Pains episode. And then they thought, hey... This is pretty popular. This actually went over pretty well. Let's spin them off sent him to an all Catholic boys school, but oh my gosh, he has daughters. So the daughters are now in the Catholic all boys Catholic school. What hijinks are going to ensue next, kids? And that, and of course, it also had the guy who, and also the guy who was head of the school was also on WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yeah, so it's what they call it, a backdoor pilot, where you kind of have like an episode of another show and see if it, you know, and this happens often.
I'll make a quick aside. It's not related to TGIF, but there actually is, like, backdoor pilots. There actually is one series that had, within its time on television, had at least tried to do 8 backdoor pilots.
And did any of them succeed?
Nope, because it was actually Facts of Life. They had actually tried to do at least 6 backdoor pilots in their run. And go look it up. If you ever get a chance, look it up. It's kind of fascinating to realize. Mildly, oddly related, I just wanted to mention that because it is kind of funny.
Yeah, that is kind of sad, though.
Yeah, it is. They tried. Oh, Lord, they tried.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to do. I mean, there are cases of successful spinoffs, and we'll get to, I guess
yeah,
you can talk
about
it.
There are a few spinoffs within the land of TGIF 2 and on.
Yeah, speaking of Perfect Strangers, I mean, Family Matters was a spinoff of that show. Harriet, who's the mother on Family Matters, was originally the elevator keeper on Perfect Strangers and stuff like that, and that's how you were introduced to her. And, you know, Family Matters, which became a very successful show for ABC and TGIF, it lasted for something 6 or 7 seasons. I mean, granted, it's also one of those shows that, originally it was envisioned as a spinoff of Perfect Strangers, which was about the family of the Winslows, their 3 kids, and, you know, Harriet's sister Rachel and her son and their grandmother. But halfway through the first season, they introduced the character of Urkel, who was intended to be a one-off character. And this is something else that will happen later on in another show, who was intended to be like a one-off character that proved so popular that they brought him back time and time again. And by the end of the show's run, the show was pretty much centered around his character.
Yep.
To the point that one of the daughters went missing, and nobody cared.
Mm-hmm. She never left her room.
She never left her room. The aunt was kind of written off for the most part, and then her son disappeared as well.
Yep.
And most of the family's friends and stuff disappeared as well.
But there were episodes where you had 3 different Urkels. OMG.
Yes, it became a mad scientist show near the end.
There's actually a fun fact I want to. The lady who played the aunt, Thelma Hopkins, she actually left the show, and the reason her reason theme was because she said, because what the hell, this kid has taken over. Because literally, she was just like, I'm out. She left. She was like, I'm done. I cannot do this anymore.
Yeah, it got to the point, which is actually kind of sad in hindsight, but even during the final season, when the show switched to CBS, and it was trying to do a competing block to ABC, TGIF, that's a whole lot of an issue. The mother, Harriet, actually left the show as well, and she was replaced by another one.
I remember that.
And I think it was for similar reasons, because it was the only show that she originally signed up for. I mean, lucky enough for her, and it works out really weirdly. She's actually back in a guest spot on the final episode of the show as like a NASA control person. So she is in the final episode, even though she's not playing the character she originally played in the show. If that's not confusing at all.
I never watched the final episode of Family Matters. I just was tuned out by that point, hardcore. I remember that whole switch up, and I was like, huh, I didn't know they brought her back for the final episode.
That's also kind of funny, because as much as it's like, even though he became a huge star on the show, Jill White has really kind of hidden from the Urkel persona since the show ended.
Yeah. Did you hear the story behind? It's actually kind of funny about Urkel. When Jaleel White did Dancing with the Stars recently, he's doing a game show for Sci-Fi, and he actually said this. He actually says in an interview, he's like, I don't have to work at all. I really don't. But the main reason why So they don't want his dad, I don't want my son to see his dad just sitting on the couch all the time, basically just watching TV, because I just went back to work, because I don't want to be just chilling out, because I have enough money to last me forever.
It's bad enough that my son will someday know I am Urkel, I believe is his point.
Yeah.
It's always kind of weird. I understand why, but if you become popular for something, it always bothers me that you want to hide from it as much as possible. Another case, and you know, this could be said that it has a negative effect on his career. But Adam West embraced the fact that he became popular for being a cheesy Batman, and he still does. Adam West has become a walking parody of himself at this point.
Yeah.
But he enjoys it, he revels in it, and he realizes that this is why he is on a national stage. Richard White is like, you know what, I don't want anything to do with this character, I don't want to pay his nerve.
It's the same with Shatner.
Yes.
Shatner has embraced that he's Shatner, and that's what he's going to get paid for.
Yeah. And Joe White has tried other roles, and for the most part, those shows don't take off.
Ooh, they don't take off. I think he had one series that lasted more than, like, one season. I think it was on UPN. I think he was on Malcolm and Me. Yeah, wasn't it the Malcolm Jaleel? Malcolm Warner show he did with, that he actually managed to last more than one season. And he's like...
Maybe? I know he was on Growing Ups, which was like him, I think Punky Brewster.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Growing Ups.
Yeah, that was only a season. His longest run in tenure outside of Urkel is playing Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes.
So
and that's also what made Jaleel White a lot of money. The freaking Hedgehog.
He paid Urkel on several major, I think three cartoons or something like that. So his reputation is either a nerd in live action or a real hedgehog in animation. I mean, what can you do at this point? It's not a bad reputation to have.
He's in peace now. He's starting to embrace it. Like, yeah, that happened. It's made me where I am. And I don't have to work again the rest of my life if I really don't want to.
Yeah, so... Family Matters is an enjoyable show.
It's not bad. Like a lot of those 90s shows, they haven't aged very well, but...
I think they're still watchable. I think what happens, part of it still stands and part of it doesn't, is a lot of them are just so heavy-handed with their messaging.
Ah, yes.
But again, you know, these were shows made for kids, so that kind of makes sense. But sometimes it's just like, we're going to beat you over the head with this message, and I hope you get it. Drugs are bad. Drinking's bad.
Perfect Strangers has aged well because it actually did not ever do much of those, did anything like those special episodes of the week. Perfect Strangers was just goofy. I was glad they stayed goofy.
It was one of those shows that didn't have like a family motif to it. It was created before TGIF. It just happened to be the centerpiece of it. I mean, the other show that I think kind of ages poorly, especially since most of the stars became weirdos, is Full House.
Oh Lord. Yeah.
Which, again, kind of like Urkel. I mean, Michelle Tanner, the Olsen twins, were always a part of the show, you know. That was part of the reason why Jesse and Joey moved in, is because Danny had Joss's wife, and he had these three girls to take care of. But as the show went on more and more and more, it just got to the point where the Olsen twins began to dominate the screen time.
Yes.
Because they were so adorable, and everybody loved them.
But you have to make note here, there's also the other fun fact of they gave one of the most foul-mouthed comedians a family sitcom. Bob Saget is one of the most foul freaking comedians, and they gave him a family sitcom. Go look up on YouTube his Full House song. It is glorious.
Oh, if you ever see The Aristocrats. His version of the Aristocrats joke is like one of the most disgusting ones in the movie. And he's just foul, and yeah, he's like, I'm a perfect family man. My wife is dead. That's sad.
You see, I always thought
that was... What is it called? The Aristocrats.
I always thought that was something that came after Full House, is that he because he was such, you know, he was TV's Danny Tanner. He was the guy who was a meat freak and all this other stuff. I always thought that, because he used to have guest spots on Entourage where he was like that. I think like one of his, he had a contract negotiation one time, and one of his stipulations was that he got to have sex on somebody's office.
It's also, look, if you ever, I actually have stumbled upon this, I found, someone posted up Full House outtakes, like very swear-filled Full House outtakes of Bob Saget, and, oh god, I stumbled upon one day, and I went, oh wow, that's through Bob Saget coming out of the flesh.
And the Olsen twins have had all sorts of problems, even though it tends to be more ashy than Mary Kate.
Mary Kate doesn't have near the wacky as Ashley kind of had the weirder crap happen. Though, dear lord, they made a crap ton of money too outside of Full House. Good.
Yeah, because they also did. You know, they had a bunch of twins. Twins were popular in the 90s because, you know, we had stuff like Sister Sister, and even this show had another set of twins with Jesse's kids.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Because one set of twins is getting older, so we got to introduce another one.
Yeah.
Well, I was, have you guys seen Very Mary Kate?
No.
It is a web series. It is verymarykate.com, and it is a web series about Mary Kate Olsen and her bodyguard, and sometimes her sister, and sometimes Philip Seymour Hoffman.
What?
I'm not joking. And
what?
The way she plays. And then there's an evil dragon, you guys, and that is totally something an evil dragon would say.
What?
Just if you have to watch it. She Mary Kate occasionally hallucinates an evil dragon. So yeah.
Okay.
Wow. I now must watch this. I never knew I needed to watch this, but
does she dress up in a bunch of stuff? Okay. I was also going to say that the,
she's
very weird.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that Stephanie actually ended up doing porn as well.
What?
Jodie Sweetin did all the drugs and also was in porn.
What?
Nope, not making it up.
Yeah.
She got herself cleaned up fairly recently, and
I mean, I think DJ had probably the health. DJ. I don't think she had much of a career, but she had the. Actually, I guess the person who had the best after this was the guy who played her boyfriend, because he ended up being an add-in.
He developed a hell of a voice career and smart move on his part.
Yeah. Because this happens with a lot of these people. A lot of these people are just never heard from again.
Well,
at least not in a good way.
Dave Cooley, John Stamos has had a very nice career revival as of late, popping up as a guest spot on a lot of stuff.
Isn't he on one of the On Artists now, or?
I think he's on.
Is he on Two and a Half Men? He's on a show now. I know he did soap operas.
This is bad. I cannot believe I'm actually doing a quick wander onto IMDb for this,
He's done soaps. He's done other shows. Oh, he was on ER. That's the show he was on.
Yeah, he was on ER, and then he popped up in Glee recently, and then he popped up on an episode of Law & Order, Two and a Half Men, and then he just kind of pops up in random stuff because he also doesn't
I got distracted by talking about Jodie Sweetin in porn. Are we talking about Stamos now?
Yeah.
Oh,
And then Jed Coulier kind of just does stand up because he doesn't really do much else outside of just stand up. And he also was, he was initially one of the guys who did stuff for the Chicago Wrestling Federation. He actually was their commissioner.
Nice. And
They had Dave Coulier as the initial commissioner, and then they had Bob Saget as the commissioner for Chikara. I might have reversed them, but I know Chikara.
I think half of them also hosted America's Funniest Home Video at some point.
Dave Coulier did America's Funniest People, and Bob Saget did America's Funniest Home Videos. Okay. God help me, I watched way too much TV when I was younger.
I think my favorite Stamos appearance continues to be Clone High. Stamos!
Oh, God. Yeah, I remember that, too.
But yeah, I mean, we're going to have to start just going through some of these shows. Mr. Belvedere and just the 10 of us rounded out the initial lineup. I actually don't remember many. I remember Mr. Belvedere. He was like the butler.
Earth in the morning, and I'm having the sun, no one's there. And I actually kind of remember the Mr. Belvedere theme song, and no one cares.
I usually watched the show on repeats. It ended when I was like 4. So.
I was around, like, during this point, I was about, like, 80, 89, about between 7 to 8 years old. So I kind of remember, watching Mr. Belvedere between the initial airing of it, and then I really remember watching it when it hit on USA at one point. So, just the 10 of us, and then just the 10 of us was the same way. I actually watched some of it on network, but then it hit USA, and that's where I really watched a lot of it. And it's kind of weird when you look at this list and realize all the amount of shows that popped up on. And of course, Step by Step is actually a funnier one in its own right because. And, don't want to forget this. By the way, also Candace Cameron, she eventually got married, and she also basically only does Hallmark movies. I think that's all she does now is Hallmark movies.
Which is a career. I mean,
it's not a bad career, but she just,
somebody's got to make them.
Yeah, somebody has to start right now.
She also had her own. She also had her own Kirk Cameron period, but at least her Kirk Cameron period was after Full House, so.
Kirk Cameron is a special case, but I don't think Grown Pains is actually on this list. So
please, that's a mercy because we don't have to get into the whole thing. Thank God to get into that. Actually, the one I actually remember watching like a lot more usually probably Step by Step, Dinosaurs, or like shows I really remember watching, and Perfect Strangers, of course, but Step by Step was actually a very also one of the series that went to CBS down the road, but that's another story. It's one of the shows that was very much nothing really happened on that show. That was just Step by Step. They had a crossover with Urkel. Urkel popped up on an episode with a jetpack. And
he also ends up taking one of the daughters to a school dance and ended up doing the Urkel on that too.
Yeah.
I mean, it was basically just a modern Brady Bunch.
Yep, that was about it. With basically a mishmash of like Stacey Keenan, who was famous for by this point doing My Two Dads, and also. And also, I think she was on the short-lived show they had. They had a she was on that Going Places series they actually had, and she must have popped up through that ranking and said, "Oh, your show got canceled. We have Step by Step." So,
yeah, it was, and like I said, it was similar to Family Matters in that what was his name, Cody?
Yep. Cody.
who I think was Frank's nephew, was also a character who was kind of like a one-off character who kind of became popular, and he ended up getting a bigger role on the show. But I can't remember if he got arrested for a DUI for pedophilia.
He got arrested for, hang on, I can actually find this because I can kind of somewhat remember this. He got arrested for, what was it? They got called to the home to investigate reports of domestic abuse. And yes. I think the domestic abuse was also part of the deal. And then he kind of disappeared for a while off Step by Step.
Yeah, well, he was pretty much ran off the show, I think.
Yeah, and then he came back, though, eventually, because...
Only for, like, a single episode or two.
Yeah.
And Disney has that thing where if you get in trouble with Disney, pretty much disowns you.
You're gone.
You are gone.
I think they do want to maintain that family friendly image. So yeah, once that happened, he was pretty much written out the show. And it was also, I think it was like the fifth or sixth season, they actually had another kid, which meant that they had, I think, seven kids.
Yep.
And that meant that one of the younger kids started to disappear. I think Brandon. So he was he joined Judy Winslow in that great hallway in the sky. Weird. He had never seen.
At least it didn't happen. What happened to the actress that played Judy Winslow, who also eventually did porn?
Oh, yeah, that's true too.
Judy Winslow did porn, so, and she did all the drugs, so.
It happens with late
teenage. Yeah, it's like it's kind of sad. Like the people, it's but it's never like, oh God, I know. It's like, oh yeah, but yeah, they disappeared, and then,
yeah.
It's scary how much I actually know about some of this crap. I watched a lot of, at one point, I watched a lot of documentaries. And do you remember, and also this is a funny one. I did not realize this. They actually had the series Billy on here, which is actually related to, was a spinoff of Head of the Class. That used to air. It wasn't on TGIF, but they basically put Billy on Friday nights. And they basically, after they canceled Head of the Class, they just put him in this spinoff for TGIF. Billy, as in Billy Connolly, by the way. He was the last teacher on Head of the Class.
Again, these spinoffs just don't work that well, it seems.
It lasted, like, barely a season, I think.
Actually, a lot of these shows, because it's in a Wikipedia thing, and some of these shows are just kind of, like, you'll have, like, fall, winter, and spring. And some of them is just, like, phasing out older shows, or just, like, Perfect Strangers got phased out during, like, the fourth season. Baby Talk was half a season. Dinosaurs was introduced, and... Yeah, you know, like some they still have things like that where you kind of have a show that does the first half and the show that does the second half. But yeah, Dinosaurs, we've kind of mentioned on this show before.
Yes.
Especially for having a very dark final episode. Especially for a kid's show.
Yeah. And of course, that final scene of, Mommy, we're going to be okay, right? Oh, yeah. Like, I actually saw this covered on another site, and someone said, and I was like, by the way, this is not a spoiler episode. They did have an Ice Age, not a spoiler. You kind of knew this was coming, guys. I'm like,
There was a Yoku's Talking spinoff on TV.
Oh God, yes, there was.
It's bad enough that there's, what, three movies in the series by now?
Oh, God, there was. I forgot about this. Damn it, Earl.
It's called Baby Talk, and it aired on TGIF.
Oh, God.
And it still had Tony Danza as the voice of the baby.
Yeah.
I thought Bruce Willis voiced one of the babies. Was that in the third film or something? Or have I just made that up completely?
He was actually the voice of the baby, and then
he voiced the first one, didn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thought so.
Oh my God, I cannot believe I actually had purged this out of my memory banks. Oh God. this was a series that George Clooney was in. Oh my God, that was one of George Clooney's many failed series before ER.
He was in Baby Talk?
Yeah.
Oh, he was, yeah. What? He was in season one. It's
George
Joe?
Clooney. He was in. He was as. Yeah. He
Do you not remember his family. Very memorable role as Joe?
he did have a more memorable role in Facts of Life back in the 80s. So you know.
And he George was on Roseanne for a while, wasn't he? Too.
Yeah. He is. George Clooney was one of those guys that floated around from show to show. Yeah, he did. He did Roseanne for a season, then he left because. I can't remember the full story why, but I think his career started gaining some more traction, and I think something happen on there, so...
I think so, because one of my favorite George Clooney stories is actually that when Roseanne did their 100th episode, Roseanne Barr, like, she said the guys who had their own shows got, like, cars and huge bonuses. She got a chocolate 100. So George, she and George Clooney took it into the parking lot, and he broke it, he beat it with a baseball bat while she took video or pictures of this. And so she said somewhere there is video or photograph evidence of George Clooney beating up this chocolate 100 because we both thought it was total bullshit that this is what I was given.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember her talking about that recently, and she said, yeah, I got...
Oh, the whole story behind that, I mean, that was not a TGIF show, so not going into it, but the way she got treated as her sitcom was running and the shit she had to put up with, it's fucking ridiculous.
Which is odd, because it was an extremely popular show.
Yeah, and they never, and ABC never... She didn't get along with the ABC brass very well. She just didn't get along with them, so they always... But they kept getting ratings, so they couldn't cancel it, so they... Mm-hmm. It just drove... And they just drove them nuts, so they kept driving her crazy.
Is that why she completely screwed them over with that final season?
Probably. I'm not... I
basically,
wouldn't be surprised
yeah.
if that was...
Why wasn't she...
I think
they
had she had more control in the final season, but it was still... Yeah. She had got...
The final season, and this is the final season is like Roseanne with a bunch of poor people that have been in I forget where they are, Chicago, something like that. And in the final season, they win the lottery and then had two daughters get married, and like it's like, you know, like they just become this ultra rich family. And I think Dan ends up dying. No, Dan has a heart attack and stuff like that. So for the final episode, you find out like the entire final season was just a... Like, it was just her writing. Like, she couldn't deal with the death of her husband.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the entire season was, like, this fictional, perfect life for her. And, like, how her, you know, her daughters actually ended up with different guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan was dead. And, like, they weren't rich or anything like that. So, it's basically an F you to anybody who watched the show for the final season.
Yeah.
It's actually one of the smarter and more depressing season series finales for a show. Granted, I don't think it has anything on dinosaurs, but...
No, but that's up there. And
yeah.
It's actually interesting, like, going back a little more to TGIF a little bit, I actually looking over here, there's a lot, like, even Muppets Tonight, Muppets Tonight actually had a quick little run on there, too. And that was the short-lived variety series they did, the Revive the Muppet Show, with Clifford the Muppet as the host. No, I don't blame you if you don't know who Clifford the Muppet is. But he was a Muppet created specifically for... He debuted in one of the Jim Henson specials. And then they brought him back for Muppets Tonight.
He was such a big impact on the Muppets franchise that he was the first one in line to be in the new movie they did. Oh, wait, he wasn't in the new movie. Okay.
No, God, it's kind of funny. It's like... Yeah, like I said, I don't blame if you don't remember Clifford the Muppet. He just kind of did his one appearance in a Jim Henson special, and then he did The Muppets Tonight, and then that was it for Clifford. So, and then they had and it's just very interesting to see how some of this stuff has kind of disappeared over time. Like some of this stuff is kind of like Hang with Mr. Cooper has managed to get a nice little perk of interest lately. Because people really still talk about that from time to time, mostly because that show rotated out theme songs every season.
A couple of these shows, like Full House and Full House shortened its theme song as it went along. Family Matters changed this theme song, I think, from the first season, from the pilot to the rest of the show, and it also shortened it. Boy Meets World, though, went through, I think, four or five different theme songs.
Yeah, they did. They went through, like, multiple.
They went through multiple intros. I shouldn't say theme. Because the first one had that really long intro. And, you know, because Boy Meets World is a show... I still love Boy Meets World. I still watch it. But as it went on, it was like they kept on changing the focus of the show. Because initially it was a show about, like, you know, the Matthews and Nippon Extra Feeny, and then it became more about, like, his school life, and then it really just became about him and Topanga and stuff like that. So as they did that, it would always change, because the first season, since it was focused on the entire family, had an intro that featured his entire family and Feeny and stuff like that. Then the second season was just him, like, kicking a globe, and that was that. The third season was more focused on Sean, Eric, and Corey. Then the fourth season was Sean, Eric, Corey, and Topanga, so they changed the intro for that. And then for the fifth, sixth, and seventh season, it just became about Sean, Corey, Eric, Topanga, Jack, and then Rachel and Angela eventually. So they evolved it as the show kept on changing its focus. But yeah, Boy Meets World is another show on TG. It's one of the few shows on TGIF. I shouldn't say one of the few, but it started on TGIF, and it actually got to end on TGIF. Like we mentioned, Perfect Strangers existed beforehand. Mr. Belvedere existed beforehand. Mm-hmm. Family Matters and Step by Step actually ended on CBS. And a lot of these other shows kind of got canceled along the way. Dinosaurs actually moved from TGIF. So yeah, Boy Meets World was one of the few shows in the lineup that actually started there and ended its run on ABC. I mean, not on ABC, but on TGIF. And yeah, it's a nice little show. Again, it's, you know, it's one of those shows where people are in the same lesson week after week and they beat you over the head with this. And I mean, this did it in such a way that it wasn't even subtle, because every episode would either end with him talking to Feeny. And Feeny would be by a plan, and he'd be like, he'll give them the moral of the story. Or it'd be like him talking to his parents, and they'll give him the moral of the story. So, yeah, it's a good show. It still comes on. I still watch it from time to time. It comes on ABC Family, and it comes on MTV, too.
Yeah. And
see, I don't watch it anymore, but I still absolutely love the quote, "You can't yell at me, I'm Topanga."
Oh, yeah. You yelled at me, I'm Topanga, but I'm Topanga. Or whenever they would get in trouble, they would always go, Topanga! But yeah, or the Feeny call, which I still love doing. Feeny!
Yeah.
Feeny! Feeny!
Oh, God.
But yeah, and actually, Will Freggie has had a terrific career in animation since then. He's actually Terry McGinnis on Batman Beyond.
Yes,
he is Ron on Kim Possible.
Mm-hmm.
What else has he done? He does a lot of stuff.
Ton.
I think he's the one who's gotten around the most since then, because I don't really know any of the other ones who kind of do anything now.
Well, Ben Savage has actually become more of a director. He's actually hit more behind the scenes. Girl who played Topanga, Danielle Fishel, she did a show on Style for like a little bit,
yeah,
of The Dish, and now she does that for MSN. And
oh yeah, he was lying on the new Thundercats.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's Drew Beetle on Batman the Brave and the Bold.
Yes, and he was awesome as Blue Beetle on Brave and the Bold.
And he was on Ben 10 as Ken Tennyson. But yeah, he's done a lot of work on Batman. He's been Gearhead on the Batman, which I guess was a one-off. But yeah, he does. I honestly don't think he's done any of the DC DTVs. But yeah, Corey, I've seen him like once or twice. He was on an episode of Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
I know Ryder went back to college and he became like a vegetarian afterwards. That has nothing to do with anything. I just remember like a picture in a magazine a few years back with him like hanging out with a tiger or something like that. Some of them, like Mr. Feeny, had a huge, William Daniels had a huge career ahead of time. It's very odd to think of him. But I saw, what is it? What is that movie? Mrs. Robinson?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, The Graduate.
The Graduate, there you go.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I said it after this, and it's so weird to see him so young and stuff.
He also did the voice of Kit in Night Rider.
Yeah.
He's in an episode of Scrubs as well, I think, with some other American comedians.
Like,
I remember that.
Yeah, he's like a doctor.
Yeah.
He's like a doctor who's sick and stuff like that. So,
I remember that. That was a really good episode.
Yeah.
Well, he's 85.
I think he was, like, I think he was quite well known before he did Boy Meets World.
Yeah, he was.
Honest.
I mean, he did, he did The Graduate and stuff, which is like,
The Graduate, like,
he was kid on
that. Yeah, like, kid, yeah.
He actually has, he actually did reprise, he actually, they, some show did an episode with Knight Rider in it, and they actually, with Kid in it, and they actually had him reprise the voice. And
probably The Simpsons.
I think
he was
Simpsons,
he was on,
or Family Guy or somewhere that he did like the voice again. I'm like,
he was on St. Elsewhere. He was,
yes.
So,
oh my
yeah,
god, I forgot Vader had a reoccurring role on Boy Meets.
Yeah,
Vader.
He was one of the kid's fathers.
Vader.
Yes. Yeah,
Vader. It's time. It's Vader
the wrestler,
time.
Vader. Oh yeah.
Uh huh.
Okay. I'm with you now.
No.
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 As it starts.
Later time. I mean, what? But, oh, God, yeah, Vader was, yeah, I remember that episode, too. I remember specifically watching that Boy Meets World, wanting to see Vader on that episode.
Yeah, because yeah. Vader did Boy Meets World, and the Bushwhackers were on Family Matters, I think.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and Mick Foley actually makes an appearance on Boy Meets World as well. But yeah, it is that. So yeah, Boy Meets World is still around. It was a show that it kind of skirted around. It actually does get rid of characters often. The two most famous ones is Minkus from the first season. In the first season, and they bring him back for the season 5 finale, where he's like, "I've been in the same high school. I just went on the other side, where nobody hangs out." And then there was a teacher they introduced in season 2 called Mr. Turner, who was a huge part of the show for 2 seasons, and then they just kind of phased him out. And yeah, they made the joke that Mr. Turner was over there in that corner as well. The daughter actually disappeared for half of a season, and when she came back, she was a different actress.
But, oh, I love when they do that.
Yeah.
I love when they do.
So, yeah, that was... and
It's actually really funny when they get something like, oh, new person, hi.
Well, yeah, they made a joke about it. Like, I think they said it was the longest time out ever or something like that, where she went missing for half the season. And, yeah, then, you know, there were other minor characters who changed, like Topanga's dad changed appearances, like, 3 times. The oddest one was, he came, like, he was at the end of one season, the start of the other season, it was a completely different actor. Or the fact that, like, some people's family, like, Topanga originally had a sister, then she was an only child, and then Sean has, like, 50 half-brothers. But, yeah, a good show. I still enjoy it.
I used to enjoy Boy Meets World when I was younger. It's the, like, I think it's the first, besides Dinosaurs, it's the first one that's been mentioned that I actually used to watch, and so.
Well,
is that
right? We know that you used to watch Sister Sister as you were regaling us with the theme
yeah.
song before the show.
Yeah. That was great.
Oh my god.
Sister Sister. The
I'm not going to deny it.
Sister Sister wasn't too bad on the scale of some of it.
It becomes better as it goes along, I think. Again, I think as the characters mature on the show, they had to take on more complex issues, because they do end up eventually graduating high school and going to college and dealing with that. And it was also an interesting show. And, I mean, granted, the premise is so out there that, you know, like, what are the chances of 2 people adopting a, you know, half of an identical twin set and then both of them meeting up and deciding that it'd be great to move in together, complete strangers.
The mother in Sister Sister, wasn't she, what's her face from Power Rangers? Was it Rita?
No, the mother was...
she was from 227.
The mother was on 227, Jack Hay, we're not going to get into Jack A. Harry's story, because that's a funny one in its own right with 227, but, yeah, Jack A. Harry kind of was like, she did 227, and then she kind of did her own short-lived spinoff. Then that faded, then she faded, then she did Sister Sister. And Lord help me, that salvaged her career, was Sister Sister.
I always used to think this was before, like, I was aware of things like Wikipedia and IMDb because I was younger, but I always used to to think she was Rita from the Power Ranger TV.
That's
Power
great.
Rangers. She does look quite, well, I mean, kind of.
I will conquer Earth. I will conquer sister.
But yeah, do you want to sing one of the? That was another show that actually had like multiple theme songs. It was the same theme song, but they just kept on changing it to the point where it kind of became like a rap song at the end because they have to, you know, dress it up and make it more hip.
Yep.
I mean, it's another thing, and you know, it's kind of to be pointed out. I mean, you had the Cosby Show, but TGIF actually had a lot of shows that had predominantly black cast, Family Matters, Sister Sisters, Hang Out with Mr. Cooper, which we haven't spoke about yet, were, you know, predominantly black cast. Granted, I mean,
they
kind
of had the Hughleys on for one season.
Well, yeah, and the Hughleys actually ended up moving to like Tuesdays, and then it ended up moving to UPN or something like that.
Correct.
But yeah, I don't know many black dominated comedies on TV right now that are, one, not a Tyler Perry production, two, on TBS. And but at this point, both of them are the same thing, but yeah, I can't really think of anything. I'm sure there is a show, but I'm drawing a blank on any.
If there is such a show, I don't watch it, so.
Racist.
I'm not racist at all.
That's what a racist would say.
Oh my god, don't you do it.
Oh lord.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper, which starred Mark Cooper. I always hated when people put their names in their show. Oh, actually, Mark Curry.
Oh, Mark Curry.
And I think this was Raven Simone's second show. After, you know, she kind of became the star on Cosby Show, and then she did this, and then she did That's So Raven. So, it's not often.
Juggernaut.
Yeah, it's not that often you see somebody who gets three big shows as a child actor. Because, I think, I forget if she was initially on the show or if she came in like the second season, because this show also kind of had like a, it had a different focus because it was like him and his cousin, and eventually that evolved as well, where like somebody moved out and then somebody else moved in. It was like his, I think his country cousin moved in, and like one of his older roommates moved out or something like that.
His cousin moved in with Raven Simone in like the second season, and that's what also introduced the, and I think that's, I'm not sure if that's the point where they also introduced more of the school stuff, and they introduced Nell Carter in the series, because Nell Carter actually played a small. By the way, for people who don't know Nell Carter played, was also famous for Give Me a Break on NBC back in the day, and pretty much she came on that series as like
the principal
to the cast member around that period of time too.
And so
that was an odd little show too, because that's when like Holly Robinson Pete was on that series, and
yeah, it was an interesting show. Some of these shows, it's like a lot of these you kind of watching folk, and I remember the core concept, like he was a gym teacher and stuff like that, and you know, it's like he's the cool teacher that a lot of kids look up to and stuff like that, but he also had these wacky adventures. I think he ended up falling for one of his roommates. I forget if they get married or not, or she leaves the show. I don't really know.
Then he ended up becoming the, like, basically, like, I think, like, a part, like, a, I think he was, like, the coach, or not the coach, but stuff, like, something involved with the Golden State Warriors near the end of the run.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually kind of remember that, too. I was like, God. Yeah, because I know he eventually ended up something like that, becoming the Golden State Warriors at one point, and God, I cannot remember if I even somewhat remember that. Oh, man.
Yeah, so there's that. I mean, at this point, the rest of the shows on this, I guess the other one we should talk about is Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which was another show that Ashton's on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was another. This was based off of the movie kind of like Buffy. And it starred Melissa Joan Hart as Sabrina, who was going through her witch trials.
Yeah.
Which meant that she was in training to become a full witch. And this lasted for a couple of seasons, and she stayed with her two aunts, who both were full witches at the time. They were helping train her, because I forget what happened to her dad, but her dad existed, but she couldn't see him for some reason or another. I forget exactly why.
He was teaching at Hogwarts. Wait. No, that wasn't funny. You don't have to laugh, it wasn't funny.
And it was another show that kind of evolved as it went along. I forget, somewhere along the line, the two aunts actually moved out. I don't even know if they gave a story as to why. I think Sabrina goes to college, and she goes to college for a year, and then somehow that just kind of fizzles out, and that dissolves, and she's a writer for a newspaper, and then like most of the cast in the original show just disappear, and her main of interest, Harvey, just kind of vanishes.
He came back, I actually looked up the Wikipedia for this, Lord help me, and Harvey got rid of him, then they brought him back, and then he stayed on. And then Caroline Ray was one of her aunts. She left, and she started her own talk show. That was the Caroline Reyes show, but it didn't last very long. And then Soleil Moon Frye was in the series in, like, the last season.
Yep, she was one of her roommates.
Yeah. She ended up getting, like, four or five roommates, and then I think they dissolved that to just three of them, and they moved into the house. Yeah, it was really odd.
So they actually had their last season on the WB, which is really weird.
Kind of not. I mean, a lot of shows ended up moving.
It had that weird step-by-step Family Matters syndrome, and a lot of those... I never realized how many shows on TGIF, some of them ended up just popping up on another network. Like, and there was a good lot of them on here. I mean, the Hughleys ended up moving on to UPN. The Clueless ended up moving on to UPN. Sister Sister ended up moving on to UP. Yeah, it was WB for them. Yeah, I think it was WB for them. Or like this period, all these shows started shifting to other networks for like.
Well, I think, like, and you still kind of get this now. It's not as often, but what happens is that a lot of these shows are kind of cross-produced. So like, it might be like. Scrubs is a recent example where Scrubs aired on NBC, but it was kind of produced by ABC's parent company.
Mm-hmm.
So like when NBC was going to drop it, ABC had the option to pick it up, which they did for the final season.
Oh.
And then the second final season, and stuff like that. And a lot of that happened here too. It's like shows, you know, like some of these shows were doing well, especially for the WB and UPN, which didn't really have any rating hits of its own. They would pick up these shows and just kind of bundle them together. And especially with UPN, who was trying to build their identity as like a network for react shows. I don't know. I remember one of the famous things that Urkel said in his post-career was UPN stood for underpaid Negroes.
I remember that.
Yep.
That was just probably a reason why his show didn't last too long in that network. But yeah, they had they were trying to build up their own identity, so they would scoop these shows like the Hughies and I think Sister Sister.
Which was really funny when they picked up Buffy eventually after it was off of WB.
Yeah.
And that whole mess as to why they ended up with Buffy. Because apparently they were going to end Buffy after season 5, and mm-hmm. the rumor is that Sarah Michelle Gellar basically had said, "I'm out. I don't want to play Buffy anymore." But instead of just quitting, she asked for too much money, knowing that WB couldn't pay her for it. So UPN said, "Hey, wait, we've got all this money. We'll pay her." So they took the show over to UPN, and everybody's like, "Oh, fuck. This is not what we were expecting. Now we need to do two more seasons, and we can't cross over with Angel anymore because they're still owned by WB." Which is why, like, all of a sudden, Buffy and Angel didn't appear on each other's shows until the very last episode of Buffy when Angel shows back up for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Like the weird, like they made a like negotiation of, yeah, Angel can appear on here.
Mm-hmm.
Was season five then the season finale when she died and she got buried, and then
yep.
the next season she came out of the coffin.
Yep, season five they were gonna end it with Buffy's death.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And
spoiler alert, by the way.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like what, 10, 15
yeah,
years old now.
Been a while, so.
Well, I have a friend. My friend Mark, who does Mark Reads and Mark Watches, he's just been watching Buffy for the first time. So he had, like, no reference for it. So as he's going through, he's also just reading Sandman, too. So as he's going through all of this stuff with Buffy and he's getting closer to that episode, I'm just sitting there with a sadistic grin on my face, like, just wait for it. Nope, just wait for it.
Oh, wow.
I'm still waiting for it, but yeah, I think the show might have been better served ending with season five.
Yeah, probably. So he wouldn't have gotten that crazy musical episode.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
or Dark Rayo.
I kind of wonder if it would have been different if they had been able to stay on the network, and if Sarah Michelle Gellar and Joss Whedon had not hated each other at that point.
Why did they hate each other?
They just didn't like each other. Like, by the end of the series, they didn't want to work with each other. That's why in the final season, when everybody is like, they basically start the We Hate Buffy Club, which everyone is in except Buffy. It was because everybody was so pissed off at Sarah Michelle Gellar, or at least Whedon was. He apparently has a really bad reputation with some of his leading actresses. The girl who played Cordelia has said that she, like, her last seasons on the show were awful.
Dang.
Yeah.
I've never heard much about this.
She said that her, when, of course, in her last full season of Angel, she had gotten pregnant halfway through filming the season. And apparently, they were upset because they had plans for Cordelia, but they couldn't use them if she was pregnant. So apparently, she just got all kinds of shit from the writers and from Joss that they had to rewrite the whole season because she went out and, quote-unquote, got pregnant without their permission.
Oh, God.
Like, and I don't know, this is from all kinds of different sources, but apparently she was utterly miserable by the end of her run on Angel and only agreed to do her episode in the last season saying, don't kill me off screen. You can't kill me off. You especially cannot kill me off screen. Like, I don't care if Cordelia is never seen again, you can't kill her. So they killed her. Off screen.
Nice.
Yeah. So she was pissed.
I hate when that happens. Alright. I think it's the weakest shot. I mean, like, put them on. I'm sure Nick would help this. We should have an episode on TV Trope one day. But, like, what they call putting somebody on the bus where you send them off and they never heard from again.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather that than killing somebody off screen. It always pisses me off.
Or sending you to a peace conference.
Are you quoting Power Rangers here?
Yes, I am.
They did the same thing with Sean Connery. I know it's movies, but they did the same thing with Sean Connery in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, because he didn't want to come out of retirement to make another indie movie, so they just had it where his dad had died in between The Last Crusade and Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which was kind of a shame, because I loved Last Crusade with
the dynamic.
Indy and Junior. That was awesome.
Yeah,
the dog's name was Indy.
It's the same thing what they did with Sarah Connor.
Sarah Connor.
That was bullshit.
I want to live.
The one that pissed me off when I was younger was Final Destination, because the guy survives all this horrific stuff in the first movie, and he dies in between.
God.
He gets hit on the head by a brick in between the two movies.
Like, wow.
Yeah, official cause of death was brick to the head.
Alright, that's not even creative.
Wow.
No.
To the head, you're dead.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I was so pissed, because I'm like, the whole point of the Final Destination movie is cheating death, and he dies off screen, so it cheats us of this victory.
Well, and I have my own set of issues with the Final Destination movies, but that's neither here nor there.
We should do a episode on that. There's five of them. That should be enough to talk about.
Aren't they working on a six?
I've never seen any of them.
They probably are working on a six. Have you never seen any of them?
I stopped watching them after number two.
I would watch 1, 5, and call it a day.
I stopped after 3.
1 and 5, okay.
1 and 5.
Is number 5 the one that's called The Final Destination? Or is that number 4?
No, I think number 4 is The Final Destination. I think 5 is just... I think it's just Final Destination.
I think they put a The in front of it, so it's not the same title as the first film.
Yeah, I think I think 4 is The Final Destination, and that was supposed to be the end of that.
Yeah, the fifth one.
But yeah, I really like how the fifth one ties in with the series as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
It's just called Final Destination 5, and then the fourth one's The Final Destination. I actually haven't seen... I don't think I've seen the third one, so I was pissed off at the second one.
The third one, I was not going to watch until someone told me about one particular line in it. Because they said it got to the point where they recognized how utterly ridiculous the series was, and they included the line, "Fuck you, Ben Franklin." Yes.
So yes, we are going to we're going to do something on the Final Destination, but at this point, I think we're really off track.
Oh my
of
lord,
we
have
going back to Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which I think is the last. No, I've actually got something to bring up. Britney Spears appeared in an episode because apparently she was friends with Melissa. What's her? I can't remember. Yeah, I can't remember her surname.
Yeah.
And I think she appeared in one of her videos as well. It might have been
for Crazy. She did. No, it was for Crazy because it was for the film.
Yeah.
That Melissa Joan Hart was in the makeover film because they did all those makeover films when I was in high school. It was called the movie was Drive Me Crazy, and the song was Crazy, I just can't sleep, so we got it.
Oh God!
And then the Backstreet Boys were also on an episode of Sabrina, like at the very, very end.
I think a lot of bands just made random appearances on Sabrina the Teenage Witch at one point. Like, Did Hanson make an? I know some.
I think so. I think Hanson did. I think they were, but yeah. And I mean, that happens. I mean, I think One Tree Hill is also kind of famous for just having random people show up and having.
Oh God, the Fallout Boy.
Yes, when Pete Wentz could not convincingly play himself. One Tree Hill. I love Pete Wentz. I love Fallout Boy. I'm a huge fan. There are many things Pete Wentz can and should do. He should write lyrics. He should be in a band and hype them up. And he should do internet shenanigans. And he should show up in my room naked. He should not act. He should not act.
That was painful to watch. When I found that, I was like, someone posted up the scene. I was like, oh, I'll take a look. Oh, my God, this is awful.
He did this short film, and it's. Oh, love the man, he cannot act.
When you can't convincingly play yourself, that's a sign you should not act.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, it's scary some of the stuff when you do these sort of episodes and you remind yourself, oh God, I know this, without even having to look. Like, some of this, like, when I just remembered about the girl played Judy Winslow doing porn and just becoming a drug addict. I'm like, I didn't have to look that up. I knew this. Someone did like a special like Family Matters ages ago and was talking about all the stuff behind the scenes of this show, and it all ended up boiling down to, show changed and they just started purging characters left and right to make room for Urkel and the many forms of Urkel and science experiments. And it's like, though it's funny, Carl was the guy who played Carl, he basically was like, I don't care. Getting a paycheck. I could care less. Getting a paycheck. And that was about his stance on that series. Like, most of the people that were still on there by the end were like, getting a paycheck. I don't care. I'll do it. I show up on set, react to Urkel's wacky shenanigans, and I get paid. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you, if you're on a series, react to wacky shenanigans and you're getting paid for it, and just go, hell yeah.
I've always been the thing is, a lot of shows end tragedy. So I've always wanted a lot of these shows to kind of have like reunion episodes, all kind. Because yeah. Like, a lot of them don't have proper, like I said, Boy Meets World, Family Matters, and Step by Step don't have proper series finales because they just kind of get canceled and stuff like that. So it'd be nice, because I think Family Matters ends with Urkel in space.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think him and her, he proposed to her, and she said yes, and they're going to get married, and he ended up doing a mission in space, and that's how the series ends and stuff like that. But a lot of the things, like, you know, he doesn't want to return to the Urkel guys. I know Myra kind of died. Well, not kind of died. You either do or you don't.
She died. That was sad. I didn't know she was that sick, and I was like, damn.
Yeah, it's always interesting when people seem to hold on just to finish the show and they pass that away. Just kind of after it.
And also Step by Step, it's actually had the oddball correlation with British Rangers, because Bronson Pinchot was actually a regular cast member in the last like part of the series of Step by Step. He played
the hairdresser.
And I'm like, I was like, oh, I'll check out Step by Step again. Bronson Pinchot. I'm like, oh god, this is awful. I know, I'm good. And then of course now Patrick Duffy, now he's back on Dallas reviving his role. And yeah, so he's doing his thing and he's getting killer ratings over it.
I am Scuzzlebutt. Witness my Patrick Duffy leg.
Yes, Patrick Duffy leg.
That's all I can think of when I hear Patrick Duffy.
Hi, I'm TV's Patrick Duffy.
TV's Patrick Duffy.
Yes, I remember that. I remember him just saying, I'm TV's Patrick Duffy.
Patrick Duffy, yes.
I mean, at this point, you might as well talk about it. I mean, is there anything you folks want to say about TGIF before we kind of conclude?
I'm sure 7-year-old me would have loved it had he been American.
Yes, he would. I think the idea of having not necessarily a theme drop, but having something that ties in your shows is actually a pretty smart idea. It's not something people do. Like, I mean, NBC used to do it with like must see TV and stuff like that, and they try it every now and then. Like, actually, I think it was like We Have Cutter or something like that.
Nick
has Snick. Yeah, and Nick has. I mean, ABC actually had a lot of these things. They had Snick. They had One Saturday Morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Disney Afternoon. Even though this kind of came out around the same time. So I mean, kids programming tends to have that block, just because I mean, for the most part, kids programming used to run from like 3 to 5 or so, and then you know, primetime shows run from like 8 to 10. Because I used to hate it, because like every week, TGIF would end with 2020, which as a kid is just really boring because it's news, but it's not current news. So it's just like, I don't want to. Like, sometimes they're like, oh, we had to contupt it, so I'm like, okay, I'll check this out. Other times it's like, oh, it means my night's over. So yeah, stuff like that. But yeah, theme jocks tend to work out well because it gives you a reason to stick around, especially if they have like what they call intersessuals, I think.
Yeah.
It's like, that's basically segments that either tie together, like, check out so and so later on, hear some clips from the show later on, or just people talking or trivia contests or stuff like that. It gives people a reason to kind of stay invested in more than just one show. We've had this discussion before. Like, I know a lot of us watch like Community and stuff on NBC. Mm-hmm. But you don't really watch the NBC comedy block. Like, you watch Community, you'll turn it off, you'll put it back on for The Office or Parks and Rec or whatever, and you turn it off again. It's not like, oh, you know, I'll watch all these shows because, you know, like, they have, especially being that NBC seems to hate some of these shows, but.
Yeah, and NBC, because it's just funny, NBC used to have, like I was saying, Thursday night at one point, they used to be able to keep people tuned in to their entire Thursday night lineup. Now, I'll watch one or two shows. We're not watching an entire day lineup. Hell no, now.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays, especially being that you don't have to watch TV, and that's the thing.
Exactly.
Like, oh, I'll just watch Community in the morning. It's going to be on Hulu, or I'll watch Beyond Auto, Beyond Netflix in a month. Or you can just watch a repeat on USA, because that's always on USA. Probably have a marathon on right now if I turn on the TV. So, but I do like the idea of theme docs, and I do... Well, actually, I don't think we mentioned this, but ABC's bringing back TGIF again.
I wanted to actually say they actually have the listing for the initial lineup for TGIF for this fall. It's Last Man Standing, because they're actually using Tim Allen to be the person, his show to be the thing they build the show around. They build the
I didn't even think that show did that well the first time.
Malibu Country, which has Reba McEntire in it, and Shark Tank, because, you know, for kids.
Yeah.
And then of course 2020, but you know, whatever, that always has existed in any form of feature.
Yeah, I think
Shark Tank for kids.
I think the problem with these revivals of TGIF has been that they kind of lost track of what made the original one successful, and it's just like, oh, we have these comedies that blended them. Like the initial comeback was George Lopez, Married to the Kellys, the Big House, Hope and Faith, Guy for Bonnie, and none of those are kids' shows.
Oh my god, George Lopez. Building the lineup around George Lopez. that wasn't going to end badly at all, was it?
Yeah. Yeah, I still don't know why George Lopez is funny or famous. I'd rather him than Carlos Mencia. But
yeah, I'll give, yeah.
And then they came back the next season. And this is, I mean, like, this is how bad it was. Like, they came back the next season, and only one show remained from that entire initial relaunch, and that was Hope and Faith, which, again, isn't a kid's show. Maybe I was mistaken. I could have swore that Two Guys, a Girl, and a Piece of Cake was on TGIF at some point, but I guess not.
No, it wasn't. They put, like, 8 Simple Rules on there, which was kind of sad anyway, because it's sad for them anyway, because that was when they were having to deal with the fact that, oh crap, their lead star died very tragically, and we're doing this series just to try to salvage this, because we really don't want to do this, honestly, because he died.
Yeah,
on,
I mean,
set.
Did he die on set?
He died on, he actually, I think he had the initial attack on set, and then they took him to the hospital. But yeah, that was very, again, but I didn't realize, I'd even forgotten that they were actually on TGIF in their last bit or so. And I was like, damn.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say on the bright side, they did kind of manage to make the show work in the wake of his death.
Yeah, I gave them credit, they did.
They handled it so well on the show, and just dealing with the devastation that, and because sometimes I think Buffy also did a remarkable job with handling Joyce's death.
Oh god,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, that episode is just like, there is a scene in that episode where I can't even read the quote from it, and it's when Anya is talking about death and how she doesn't understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the little things, like people, you know, like the scene where she's like picking out her dress and stuff, and it's like, you know, it's not a big deal, because at that point, I mean, you know, like, it's just like one of those things that you have to kind of, you try to get back to normalcy, and it's really not something you can just kind of flip a switch on, like, I'm good to go. So, but yes, I mean, I think that will do it for our TGIF special. I'm actually not here next week, so Nicholas should be taking the reign of hosting, because he never actually got around to hosting his show before we hit episode 100 and stuff like that. So look forward to that. I have no idea what they're talking about, and I fear for my life. But for Wesley, Ashley, Anthony, and myself, this has been Nerds on the Rocks episode 102.
It's Friday night. And the mood is right. We're gonna have some fun, show you how it's done. TGIF.
open to predictability. The milkman, the paperboy, evening TV. When did I get to live it here? Somebody tell me, please. This whole world's confusing me. Everywhere you look, there's a heart, a hand to hold on to. Everywhere you look, there's a face of somebody who needs you. Everywhere you look, honey, I'm home. What's up? Where's my theme music? Hanging with my friend is all so cool. Sometimes bad and he sometimes acts a fool. Hanging with my man is all so kind. It's a rare condition this day and age to read any good news on the newspaper page. That tradition of the grand design, some people say, is even harder to find. Well, then there must be some magic clue inside these gentle walls. 'Cause all I see is a tower of dreams. Three lovers sit out of every scene. It's the bigger love for the family.
Mr. Feeney will sell this.